You're driving down the interstate. You're starting to feel sleepy. And you see a sign that says Motel 6. You keep driving, you see one that says Super 8. And you start to wonder, what's with all these hotel names? Why Motel 6? Why Super 8? Where's Motel 7? A lot of people don't know where those names originate from. But it actually originates from the price of a room of the hotel or motel when the motels were originally built. Motel 6 was a $6 room anywhere you stayed at one of their hotels. Didn't matter if it was Indiana or North Dakota or Florida or California, Motel 6 was $6. Fast forward to 2018. I've stayed at a Motel 6 this year, and it was not $6. It was well over $150, which is false advertising as far as I'm concerned. So how does the price of a motel room go from $6 when Motel 6 opened in 1962 to over $150 per night in 2018? The answer is inflation. And that's what I'd like to talk about today is inflation. Inflation is an erosive power when it comes to money that if you are not prepared to deal with, you are going to have much worse or more negative financial results than if you are aware of what inflation does. So basically, the simplest way to explain inflation is that the cost of everything goes up a little bit every year. Now, this isn't true in all circumstances, and it's not true in every situation, but generally speaking, you can expect to pay a little bit more for your hotel room. If you're a renter, you'll pay a little bit more for rent. The guacamole at Chipotle is going to cost you a little bit more every year. And in the short term, it doesn't seem that bad. And I should add in there that your income should go up a little bit as well. And in the short term, if you're used to paying $2 for guacamole and next year it's $2.10, that doesn't affect you too much. But if you look at the long-term inflation rate in the United States, depending on all the different variables you want to look at, it's somewhere around 3%. So every year, the cost of everything goes up 3%. If you're paying $1,000 a month for rent, next year it's $1,030. On a year-to-year basis, that's not such a big deal. Where it starts to seem like a big deal is that over 20 years, the cost of everything is roughly going to double. I remember when I worked at McDonald's in the 1990s, a number one, which was a Big Mac, fries, and a drink, was $2.99. Fast forward to 2018, McDonald's Big Mac and a fries is somewhere like $8 or $9. If you're at the airport, it's $12. But the cost of everything just continually goes up. So in order for us as investors and people who want to have successful financial lives, we have to make sure that our assets and our income are continuing to grow, not just at the rate of inflation, but faster than the rate of inflation. So when we're saving for retirement, and let's say we're saving for a car when we retire, I'll take a personal goal. When I retire, I want to rent an RV or buy an RV, and I want to visit all the Major League Baseball stadiums. I think I've been to 12 so far, but at the rate they keep getting torn down and built back up, by the time I retire, I'm probably still going to be at 12. And if you were to go rent an RV for a month right now, you know, I don't know the exact number, but let's say it would cost you $5,000 for the month. To save for that goal 30 years down the road, I'm probably going to need about 150% of that goal. I might need $12,500 to rent the RV. So just setting aside $5,000 in today's money isn't good enough because we just talked about inflation. The cost of everything is going to keep going up. My $5,000 in 35 years or 30 years, whatever number I used, is not going to be enough to rent the RV because the cost of everything keeps going up. And this is where, as investors, we start to talk about real returns. And real returns are important because it's saying, how much am I outpacing inflation when I make money? So if I start an investment with $10,000 and I make 3%, so at the end of the year, I have $10,300, but inflation was 3%, I can still only buy just as much stuff at the end of this year as I could have at the beginning of this year. I've had zero real return. I've had the same buying power at the beginning of the year as I did at the end of the year. Our goal as investors is to not only keep our buying power up with inflation, it's actually to increase our buying power over time. So to do that, we have to outpace inflation. And when we talk about this, we start to talk about investing in bonds or stocks. And actually, one of my favorite little tidbits of information things to talk about is there's really only four things in the whole world you can invest in. Pretty much every investment can be boiled down into four different categories. You can buy equities, so shares of a business. You can buy debt, so we call that bonds, but you can loan people money. You can buy stuff, and a lot of things fit into the stuff category. You can buy real estate, you can buy gold, you can buy guns, you can buy canned food. And the fourth thing is a currency. So you can hold on to dollar bills, yen, cryptocurrencies. You can stash your money in a currency and leave it there. More or less every single thing you invest in can fall into one of those four categories. Currency is the most susceptible to inflation. Currency does not compound over time. If you put $100 in your safe, it's going to be $100 when you pull it out. But because of inflation, that value has been eroding over time. Bonds or savings accounts or CDs are typically going to get you pretty close to inflation. And it's probably at this time that I should mention that inflation is always different. You know, in the late 70s, we were in the double digits every year, you know, 10, 15, 20% inflation. In Venezuela right now, they've had inflation in the thousands of percent per month. Weimar Republic in Germany after World War II, after World War I, you know, people were famously walking around with wheelbarrows full of currency trying to buy something, and it was just becoming so worthless so fast it had no value. So we're talking about the U.S. and generally having a 3% inflation rate over time. But bonds and savings accounts and CDs, the goal is really to maintain your purchasing power, where you're not going to really grow the account above inflation, but at least it's there for safety of principal. And then investments in equities are typically where you have the opportunity to outpace inflation. So this is where you can, you know, let's say you make a 7% a year return in your equities and the inflation rate is 3, you are going to be increasing your purchasing power by 4% every year. And then with real things, you know, actual goods, whether it's an investment like real estate or a rock like gold, that's where you don't have, that's a big, broad enough category that it's kind of hard to discuss outpacing inflation. But for the sake of this conversation, we can kind of set that aside for another podcast. In fact, we could do a whole podcast on gold, since whenever the market has a rough time, people like to talk about investing in gold, which we don't, by the way, but we'll save that for another podcast. So inflation is a very powerful, long-term erosive tool. If you leave your money in cash or in a currency, you will probably have that money depreciate due to inflation. If you have it in a savings account or a bond account, you'll probably keep your purchasing power over time, but you won't grow it any more than inflation. And generally speaking, investing in equities or the stock market is going to give you an opportunity to outpace inflation and actually increase your purchasing power. So next time you're driving down the interstate and you see a Motel 6 or a Super 8, let that be a reminder to you that the power of inflation is very minimal and hard to notice over the short term, but it compounds in a very negative way over the long term. So we want to make sure we have a plan for how do we combat inflation? How do we make sure that our assets are outgrowing the cost of goods? Signing off from the Mile High City, Denver Wealth Management Podcast.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, MENRA FINRA SIPC. Investment advice is offered through Providence Capital Partners, a registered investment advisor. Providence Capital Partners and Denver Wealth Management are separate entities from LPL. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual.